Season 2 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by RamFit. Here at RamFit, we take material destined for landfill and turn it into high-performance training gear that lasts because we believe we can have fitter people and a fitter planet. In the dynamic world of fitness equipment, our indestructible training tools made from recycled materials promises to revolutionize your workouts and deliver unmatched durability. By embracing the RamFit philosophy, you're not only enhancing your workouts, but also contributing to a more sustainable future. RamFit. Fitter people, fitter planet.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got another super special guest for you guys. We got the CEO and founder of Get Burly in the House, Michael Caron. Thank you for joining us today, Michael.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to sit down and talk with me. And thank you for spreading awareness about resilience. It's one of my favorite topics. And I think the world is a better place for promoting resilience and helping people find ways to adapt, modify, overcome, become anti-fragile, as I like to say, the term coined by Nassim Taleb. So thank you for doing the good work that you're doing, and I appreciate the time you're taking with me today.
Definitely, I appreciate that, and super excited. It's pretty fitting. We've interviewed some people, Mark Jones and Yancey, some dear friends of yours, so I'm super excited to get into it and give some people some resilience tools. So to start off, for the people that may not know you, if you could give us a quick elevator pitch on who you are and what you're about.
Absolutely. In the introduction, you mentioned Get Burly. About 15 years ago, I founded the company Get Burly, and that's it. Live it, sleep it, eat it, breathe it. It's my company, it's my baby. And it's just so fitting talking about resilience. The term burly itself refers to being strong, sturdy, and well built. And so the idea of getting burly is helping people to become strong, sturdy, and well built. But we talk about the development of inner strength. So strong in mind, strong in body, strong in spirit, and in a very unique way that maybe Yancey or Mark have told you a little bit about, because they are actually two Get Burly master coaches. They've worked with me for many, many years. In a very unique way, we have a fully immersive experience where people have to develop resilience or they wouldn't get through our days together. So they develop it as a part of what we go through together. And we like to, like I said before, we like to use the term also they develop anti-fragility. So they actually learn not just to survive through adversity, but to thrive through adversity. And so we've developed a pretty unique process to help people to go through that. And we've worked with athletic teams from super young kids all the way up to professional athletes, and as well as corporate groups within the Get Burly platform. So that's a little bit about the work that we engage in and what we do and why we love resilience so much.
That's awesome. Already tying in the brand with resilience. I love it. And you got all the Get Burly merch on. Got the hat, the t-shirt, even showing us the mug earlier. Got it all branded up. I love it. Got to live the brand.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so talking about your Get Burly and the work that you do, if you could tell us a little bit more about that and kind of focusing on the specific stuff such as the inside-out approach that you guys take with building your athletes, building resilient athletes with resilient mindsets, kind of how you guys approach that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've listened to a lot of your podcasts. I love the episode you did with Yancey and Mark and JP recently. I love what you guys dive into and the great questions that you ask. And so it's very much aligned with some of the things that you guys talk about. And, Yancey is the ultimate energy giver, right? And it's so funny because before I met Yancey, people were like, you're hands down the most energetic person I've ever met about me. And so if you put the two of us in a room together, it's like, it's bananas. I mean, it's like the most positive environment you could ever imagine. And then you have Mark in the back, who's just like the silent assassin, so it's a good, we got a good team rolling, but my background, worked in education for, I was a public school educator for over 25 years coaching. I taught and I coached. I actually coached 45 consecutive seasons of high school sports, football, basketball, and baseball. Many of those teams, I was very fortunate enough to be part of teams that went on to win multiple league championships, state championships. And I learned a lot through that process of engaging and helping people to understand what it means to work together as a team. And then I found this world of like Spartan Race and OCR. And I met Joe DeSena and I started bringing people up to his farm to train. And I was building, bringing, entire football teams up to the farm in Pittsfield. And, I was doing all of the stuff. And I'm like, it just was always about like stretching the edges and trying to find a way to help people perform at their optimal level, but also about becoming the best human you can be. And we just found that the more you push and the more you stretch the edges and the more you help people learn to depend and rely on each other and dig deep, that it came out in other places, right? Third and short didn't seem so difficult after you had been through some of those challenges, or spilling a hot co cup of coffee on yourself didn't seem so difficult, or studying for that test didn't seem so difficult anymore. So this idea of like intentionally pursuing adversity, because inevitably it's going to come in life, we started to adapt and modify a program that allowed people in a healthy and supportive way to face these incredible challenges and then overcome them. And the more I got into that work, the more I was like, okay, well, who's really the best at this? And so I went to the SEALs. And so I was very fortunate enough as a civilian to start training under Lieutenant Commander Mark Devine and his Navy SEAL-inspired SEAL Fit program, as well as the Unbeatable Mind program. So I started going down to Encinitas, going to California, learning from the SEALs, training with the SEALs. I want to make sure that this is very evident as a civilian because I have so much respect for our military. And I learned so much. And I was able to become a certified Navy SEAL fitness coach, which the program's actually called SEAL Fit. So I was able to become a SEAL Fit coach, which is more of like a fitness style certification, which was incredible. That was amazing. Just a lot, very similar to the SGX certification, which, by the way, is how I met Mark going way back. We were two of the first SGX certified coaches to ever get certified. And when you do that, you had to be like, you have to go through like all these partner exercises. And he was my partner for all of them. Right.
Wow.
Which is just crazy. And then, like 10 years after that, we decided, because we're always pushing, stretching it, we decided to get another fitness certification, which was the Alpha Warrior Fitness Certification, which was another program that Yancey was involved with. And the same thing, you had to go through the super intense training to become a certified Alpha Warrior Fitness Coach. Guess who my training partner was again, 10 years after the fact? Mark Jones. So, anyways, Mark Jones and I had
Wow.
this crazy history. But I, so I went through this process with training with the SEALs and under Mark Devine's program. And then at the time, this was about 5 years ago, I became the 23rd person universally to attain the Unbeatable Mind Coaching certification, which was a very difficult certification to attain, but I learned so much from training with Mark Devine and a lot of other Navy SEALs and just people that had the super growth mindset. It's like a combination of, all the great work that, Angela Duckworth's done with grit and Brené Brown with authenticity and Carol Dweck with having a growth mindset. And just this great combination of mental toughness, emotional resiliency, physical training, and bringing it all together in like this universal way to help transform people to attack challenges with a sense of vigor and a sense of purpose and actually seek out intentionally these challenges because we would un have an understanding that it allows us to grow at such a rapid pace compared to hiding in the shadows and not embracing these challenges and not attacking them. And so I know that was kind of a long story, but I wanted to bring together for you my whole experience as a teacher, as a coach, training with Spartan Race, training with the Alpha Warrior, training with the SEALs, and kind of putting all of this together into a program over a 20-year process, mind you. We've continued to whittle it down. Now we have it in a single day program. We do multi-day events as well, but a lot of people like our single day program where we've really kind of boiled it all down, where we come in and it's an emotional, mental, physical roller coaster ride where it's physical challenges, mental challenges, physical challenges, mental challenges. And we just hit them. We hit them so hard and so passionately in so many different ways that by the end of it all, I mean, people are hugging, people are in tears. We always end at the end of the night. I'm not sure if Yancey maybe explains to you, but by our fireside, we have a fireside chat ceremony at the end of the night that's like super powerful, where we have these big breakthroughs, people open up. But it's because, like you guys know, you guys have been through these challenges. When you've just pushed yourself to the max with somebody by your side, you couldn't get through it without them, and you've overcome all these difficulties and all these challenges, and you've leaned into each other. And now at the end of the night, you're having these open, honest conversations, and everybody's got something a little bit heavy on their heart. And we have a chance, we have a space that's allowed for young men, for example, we've done a lot of these with young ladies to have a conversation. There's a lot that's heavy on people's hearts right now. 42% of young people are expressing feelings of hopelessness, feelings of despair right now. in a study that was recently conducted. It's not sad. We've got to find a way to combat this. So one of the ways we're combating it is providing these experiences, providing these spaces, and we have these great conversations by the fire. And then it's like, it's all hugs, it's all happiness, and it's thank you so much and high fives. And so that's kind of a shotgun approach, just a little bit of kind of what a day looks like. There's a lot more to it, but I hope that summarized it to a certain extent anyways.
Definitely. I love how you're using the fitness component to kind of open up and really get into that mental side of things and using that benefit of moving your body to kind of open yourself up to really divulge and understand those feelings that you're feeling and express them, which is an important factor to it as well. And I'm kind of curious with the sports that you work with, and me personally being a wrestler, so an individual sport, how have you found ways using this format of people leaning on each other for those individual sports, like, and not just wrestling, like you got swimming and tons of other individualized sports?
Yeah, I love. That's such a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. So one of the we worked with in Massachusetts, we worked with, and they actually just won the state championship. For 5 years, we worked with the Masconomet ski team. We took them up to Joe's Place. We took them up to Killington. We worked on their turns. But although it's an individual sport, you're still members of a team. You're practicing, on the mat every single day. You're going up against each other. You're practicing every single day. So what are those interactions look like? In which ways are you holding each other accountable? How are you growing? How are you developing? See, I don't think there's any such thing really as an individual sport. On game day, are you out there competing by yourself? Yeah, but your teammates are by your side. Your coaches are right there with you. And also the messaging that they have delivered to you throughout the courses of those practices exists in your mind. So we talk a lot about internal dialogue, external dialogue, masterfully controlling the words that you use and sharpening your saw so that when you're on that mat or when you're on, attacking that mountain in a ski race or when you're alone at the start line of a track meet, you're not alone. You're filled with the voices of your teammates, and that power is carried with you, and it lifts you up and it carries you to a whole nother level. But most young people, they don't know how to do that. And the only reason why is because they haven't practiced the tools. They don't understand. But so we build that into those the style of events, and we've had tremendous success with the, quote, air quotes for people that are listening, individual sports, in trying to help people understand that we can attack this from a team mentality, a pack mentality, right? A wolf pack mentality. So that's kind of how we approach that.
I love it. The hairs on the back of my neck, the hairs on the back of my neck are sticking up. I can feel the energy from over here, man. I love it.
From Arkansas to Illinois.
So now you're starting to see, you put me and Yancey in a room together, and it's like, I know you guys know Yancey, that it's just, the energy is, it's a little,
yeah,
it's
I
a little.
I can see it. It's crazy.
It's like a Monsters, Inc. when the stream meter goes over all the way.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about, one of the phrases that I know you like to use is pouring into others, pouring in. And you're talking about that there, of
yes,
how
sir.
You're getting teammates and coaches and everyone is pouring in to one another. And actually, one of the rules of resilience that we give people is that helping others helps me more, right? So just talk about that. I want to hear you talk about pouring into others. And in particular, there's times when we're feeling dry, when we're feeling burnt out, and I don't really have a lot to give. And here's this guy saying, Ricardo's saying helping others helps me more. Burley saying you got to pour into them. What do you do when maybe you feel like the cup's not so empty?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. I love this expression that I have to give full credit to training with Mark Divine and the SEALs. I just love this, and I use it so often. Take your eyes off yourself, put them on a teammate. As soon as you're feeling sorry for yourself, as soon as you're feeling bad, as soon you take them off yourself and you put them on a teammate. And we do, we open up our Get Burley events with Spartan Deca fire test, which is CNC's, full body functional fitness, just body weight exercise test. It's intense. It's a 10-minute complete smoke show, right? And people finish. You're gonna have a, let's take a football team. You're gonna have a skill position player that is gonna finish. Some of them finish in 6 minutes flat. So we've had some finish 5 minutes flat. You might have a lineman it's taking them 15 minutes. So okay, you just finished. You're a skill position player. You just said, okay, their cup is no longer full. They're empty. They got nothing left in the tank, and they're sitting there, and it's like, no. That's your brother over there right now that's finishing. You need to find a way. You need to find a way to go get to your teammate, and you need to do it now. And all of a sudden, there's a switch, and you can see it. We have tons of video on it, all of a sudden there's a switch where it's like they went from no energy at all to they are just ecstatic with energy, right? And there's different types of energy. There's physical energy, there's spiritual energy, there's mental energy. And so what we're trying to help people do is tap into the totality of it all. And so, yes, in a moment, you might be physically exasperated, right? But what do you have left in the mental tank? What do you have left in the spiritual tank? And they all work together. And so one can inspire the other and lift it up. And so I think, you know, what we have to learn to do is, and it goes back to controlling the controllables, right? And the two things that we can control, whether we're tired or not, the two things we can control all day, every day, no matter what, are your effort and your attitude. I don't care how tired you are, you can control those things. Right. And so the great Lou Holtz would say life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond to it. But it's your ability to control those responses that dictate outcomes. So we've got to put all of our focus into controlling the controllables. That 10% is what dictates outcomes. That 10% is where everything happens. And so we're feeling dad. Well, let's go back to the controllables then. What can I in this moment right now? What can I control? You know, Yancey talks about a pause button. We hit the pause button. I even imagine like a little red one right here. I hit the pause button. Before I entered the space, before I came onto this podcast with you, I was doing box breathing. I was meditating. Then I was doing a state change exercise. I was just banging out some push-ups because I wanted to be present for this and give you my best. Well, I have practices that allow me to do that. That's something that I can control. And so we have to hit the pause button before we enter a space, right? Before we enter any scenario. And the question always that I challenge myself, challenge my wife, I challenge Yancey, Yancey challenges me, I challenge everybody that I have the privilege to come into contact with, that I have the privilege to pour into, is does this space that I'm about to enter become better or worse as a result of me being there? Because we can't kid ourselves. One of those two things is happening. Every time you come into a space, every time you hit that wrestling mat, right? Every time you take the course at a Spartan race or a Deca race, every time you come home and you have the blessing to have an interaction with your wife and children, your presence is either going to make that situation better or worse. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing we do is we shut this stupid thing off and we get it out of the way and we gain some mental clarity about what is my intent as I approach the space, right? And so I think, again, I know I went off on a tangent here, but you asked about how do we get to a place where we can serve and pour into others, even when we're exhausted, even when we're tired, even when life can beat us down sometimes in a lot of different ways. And so focusing on controlling the controllable aspects of life and going back to those simple things, control my attitude, control my effort. Well, I have a hard time doing that. Okay, well, what are your practices? Let's take a look at your habits. Right. And then we can examine the habits and then, because it's our habits ultimately dictate the way that we're going to behave. Right. And so we've got to get in control of those habits. And I think that hitting the pause button is one of the best ways that we could do that.
I love what you're talking about with the pause button. So and for people that kind of struggle with hitting the pause button in their life, you talked a little bit about it with the box breathing techniques and the other various techniques. What are some other ways that people can hit that pause button in their life?
Absolutely. So there's a great acronym that I again learned from the SEALs. It's called WIRM, right? WIRM. And it stands for witness, interdict, redirect, and maintain. So what do I mean by that? Developing a witness is being able to develop thoughts outside of yourself. Okay, so it's like for those that are listening, I have my hand above my head. So that's like the witness. The witness is above me. The witness is seeing things as they're happening. And we start to develop a sense when we can develop this witness. How do we do that? Well, we have controlled breathing techniques, right? Box breathing is one of them. Inhale for a count of four, hold for a second of four, exhale for a count of four, and then hold again for a count of four. That's one round of box breathing. Target journaling is a way to do it, right? So what is target journaling? Target journaling is having something specific in mind that you're journaling on and with intent, putting your pen to paper and writing on it, right? And you can even start, you can even follow, like one of the things people say, I don't know what to journal about. I don't know what to write about. And so what we talk about is, you know, Jack Kerouac wrote the book On the Road back in 1953, I think it was. And he wrote a stream of consciousness. He wrote it took him like 2 weeks. He wrote it on a napkin and then it went to publish. And stream of consciousness writing is just you put your pen to paper and you just write and you don't judge your thoughts. You allow them to come out and whatever comes out, comes out. And what that does, it's like people call it like a mental dump. You just throw up on the page. So what? It's out now. It's all that stuff is now out. It's on the paper. It's no longer here. It's no longer causing you to have frustrations or anxieties. So target journaling, box breathing, right? Positive and supportive conversations with people you respect and admire. This conversation right now gives me mental clarity, okay? And so having these positive connections, we always say this, right? You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with in your life. I don't look, my circle is tight. I don't let people in my circle if they have negativity going on in their life. It's just I don't have the space for that, right? So meaningful conversations with people you care about, target journaling or stream of consciousness journaling if you have trouble writing, and then a controlled breathing practice. Box breathing is one of them. There are so many. These are all ways that we can stop the busyness of life and allow us to regain focus. The other thing is, this is a double-edged sword. Social media, phones, this is a double-edged sword. Yes, there are positive benefits to it, but is this in control of you or are you in control of it? And I would submit that when we are walking into a space that this thing goes off, before I go into the house, this gets shut off. I do a few rounds of box breathing and I'm like, what is the intent that I want as I walk into this? Because what I believe is if the four walls within your house, if those are right, everything else is going to be positive in your life. But if they're not, something's going to be off. Okay. And so we have all, you know, a lot of times in this sphere, I feel like we talk about fitness a lot. We talk about getting right with your body and testing yourself and pushing yourself, stretching the edges. But what about all the other areas in your life, right? What about the other things that are important? What about your faith? What about your family? Are we spending the same amount of time in these areas? Do we have the same practice? Yeah, I can show you my workout for tomorrow. My workout's dialed in for like the next month. Okay. Do you have that same level of clarity with your family? And how you're going to be interacting with your family. If you say that's important to you, where's your show me your family plan. Show me your faith plan. Show me your financial plan, right? And so I guess what I'm getting at here is we have to carve out space because space allows us to have clarity about what's important. How do we carve out space? Or like you said, Alton, hitting the pause button. We put some of these practices into place. We spend less time on the phone, right? Because generally speaking, what are we doing in the phone? We're getting information from other people. Right? We are now on a defense. We are reacting to what is going on in their life. I want to react. I want people in my circle, people that I love, people that I care about. I want you to be reacting to what is the plan that you set for yourself today. Now react to that, not somebody else's agenda. So a lot of times, yeah, people are waking up and the first thing they're doing, the first 20 minutes is on the phone. What happens then as a result of that? You're in somebody else's dreams, somebody else's wishes, and you're wondering why things aren't moving in the direction you want them to be. You got to get aligned. So spend less time on this and more time in here, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, writing down the things that matter to you, the things you want. What are the steps you're taking? Visualize it. See it. See it in your mind. See your success. Help it to become a reality. Have a mental visualization practice. Have a journaling practice. Have a breathing practice. It's not, you know, success leaves clues. Look at the people you admire. Look at the people you respect. I bet you if you look, for all your listeners, I bet you if you look, you're going to find out that they have one of these practices that they're doing on a regular basis. Okay. Success leaves clues. And so if we want to get moving in the direction of our choosing, we got to do that. We got to develop that pause button and take some time going in here because this is where the answers are, right?
Got to get inside.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I love what you were talking about. You brought up a visualization, and this is kind of an area of expertise for you. And I was wondering if you could kind of give us an in-depth explanation on how you do your visualization and how that helps to boost your performance.
So resilient, you know, when we talk about resilience, a lot of times when we get out of resilience, right, is when we are in what we call a sympathetic mm-hmm. state. Okay. And so when we get into fight or flight mode, right, which is naturally supposed to happen to us, right? It's a built-in instinct. You're being chased by a bear. You're in the ocean. You're being chased by a shark. That is a built-in instinct. It's positive. But how many times are you being chased by a bear
yeah.
in mm-hmm. today's society, right? But we're always in this. We're in this fight or flight. We're in this stress. We're in this rest and digest. And so you asked about mental visualization. Well, we want to change our nervous system and get into what is called the parasympathetic state, which is the rest and digest. This is when you have clarity, right? This is when you're aligned and you're in tune. And it's what actually allows you to thrive through adversity. So we're talking about resilience. How do you become more resilient? Well, let's access the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system, so we're not reacting, right? Our emotions can inform us, but our emotions should not control us. Okay. And so mental visualization is one of the ways that we can regain that control, that we can develop the witness. I said worm earlier, witness, that we can see our thoughts. We can see our thoughts. And then if something comes in that's not good, something that comes in that's negative, we interdict. The I stands for interdictive, which means we shut that off. We don't let it in. We say at Get Burly, we say starve fear and feed cards. Starve the fear will feed the cards will. So we interdict, right? We redirect. We bring in something new now, an image in our mind that's a positive image. or a saying, right? Like, I don't know, I talk to myself all the time. My wife's like, what are you, you're always talking to yourself, you know? Because I'm building myself up for the day. Like, I have a saying, I say it all the time. I say this, I'll just share it with you guys. I say this all the time. I'm a lion. I am powerful beyond measure, and I will impact the change I wish to see in this world and in myself. I am a lion. I am powerful beyond, and I say, and I'm saying in the shower, my wife's like, what's going on? You know, but I want to show up to whoever I have the privilege to serve. I want to show up, and I want them to feel my energy. So I have to build myself up. Okay. And so that's a visualization tool. Okay. So I'm seeing it in my mind, but now I've attached to it. How have I made it more powerful? Well, I brought in some powerful words. Those are for me. You got to find your own powerful words. What builds you up? What makes you feel powerful? What helps you on your mission? Right. And so now you bring in the words. So what you've done now, right? We said witness, interdict any bad thoughts. We shut them out. How do we shut them out and keep them out? We bring in something positive, right? We redirect, right? And then the M is maintain. How do we maintain that? Talking to people like you, talking to people that want to make an impact, talking about people that are served. So we maintain this positive momentum by controlling our circle, keeping our circle right and tight, like I said, of people that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want to help everybody. Of course, we help everybody. But I'm talking about your inner circle, the people that you're really spending a lot of time with. It's very important to control those spaces. I call it protecting space. Okay. And so I think when it comes to the mental visualization practices, bringing in some other stuff in addition to the thoughts. But what the science actually tells us is that the more concrete, the more real we can have that imagery, right? You can see it, you can taste it, that you bring in, it's like synesthesia. Synesthesia is the combination of sights and sounds and smells, right? So the more imagery you can bring in to make it real and so you can feel it, the more likely that image is gonna become a reality. And so that's kind of what we actually help people to learn. We actually take people through a guided mental imagery practice at our events to help them understand this practice so that they can then go practice it on their own.
Season 2 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by RamFit. Here at RamFit, we take material destined for landfill and turn it into high-performance training gear that lasts, because we believe we can have fitter people and a fitter planet. In the dynamic world of fitness equipment, our indestructible training tools made from recycled materials promises to revolutionize your workouts and deliver unmatched durability. By embracing the RamFit philosophy, you're not only enhancing your workouts, but also contributing to a more sustainable future. RamFit. Fitter people, fitter planet.